Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here at the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T. Each week, we're going to get together to have a conversation about topics of interest and have guests to discuss things that I think you want to hear. You will find the Tenpenny Files to be an educational and inspirational time, and most importantly, I hope that you will find that it is food for your soul. We're going to start by taking a longitudinal look over the last 15 months to summarize where we have come from inside of this pandemic. And we're going to show, in no uncertain terms, that our struggle is not against human opponents, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in the darkness around us, and evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. How did this whole thing get started? They started with fear, false evidence made to appear real. And as time went on over the last 15 months, each piece of evidence that they presented that they made to appear real has been exploded. They quarantined us. They put us under house arrest. They then turned the myth of the mask into fact and made us believe that somehow by wearing this piece of cloth or what we've come to call this face diaper across our face was somehow good for us. They then separated us. They called it social distancing, as though the virus could measure 6 feet and knew exactly how far we should stand apart. They closed businesses, they closed airports, and most importantly and most devastatingly, they closed churches. They then spied on us. They gave it a fancy name, called it contact tracing, where you were supposed to leave your phone number and the number of your friends so that they could get in contact with you if, by way, you came sick with COVID illness. But really, it was just a way to connect all of your friends into one place, and they called it contact tracing. And then they demanded that we be tested with fraudulent PCR tests to identify cases which mean, and continue to mean, actually nothing. It's the first time ever in history that healthy, asymptomatic people had to be tested by invasive procedures to prove that they were well. And then they lied to us and they convinced us that if we accepted this shot, which is not a vaccine, but it is a genetic modifying tool, that if we got that injected into our bodies, that somehow we would be free. We would be free to resume our normal activities, the ones that should not have been taken away from us in the first place. Now they're in the process of creating something called CoviPass to track our every move, to give us permission to go into restaurants and on cruise ships and go to professional sporting events, all for convenience, that we have to get this shot. And we will see as time goes on that they created COVID in order to get us injected with this genetic modification tool that will permanently and irreversibly change your God-given genetics. This entire series of programs will be based upon Ephesians 6, chapter 10 through 17, starting with fighting powers and principalities. Finally, be strong in the Lord, relying on his mighty strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the devil's strategies. For our struggle is not against human opponents, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in the darkness around us, and evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. For this reason, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand whenever evil comes. And when you have done everything you could, you will be able to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth around your waist, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and being firm-footed in the gospel of peace. Also take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You will find in all of these programs now and going forward that we will talk about current events in light of biblical principles. And in order to make that happen and to launch this series of programs, I wanted to bring on one of my dear friends and a person who I believe is the strongest, most powerful voice across the internet, my good friend, Scott Kesterson. Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for coming and joining us on the Tenpenny Files, the inaugural launch, actually, of this entire program series. I couldn't think of a better person or a better way to announce what this programming is going to be all about than to have you on as my special guest.
I appreciate you having me on. This is really an honor. Thank you.
So we talked about, and you and I have had lots of conversations offline and on your really powerful show, Bards FM, and when I do my happy hour with Dr. T, we've talked an awful lot about what's going on in current events and how important it is to put on the full armor of God. Can you expound on that for us, please?
Of course. I mean, I think where we are right now is to be looked at very clearly is the question of what is really happening. And we have obviously before us an unbelievable layering of lies and deceit. And the world around us is pretty much in total chaos. We have very little or no leadership in our nation at this point in time. We have a known death count that's rising on VAERS with the people that are dying from this injection. We have nobody speaking out against it. And yet we have this constant push of getting people on a goal of 70% penetration into the society to get everybody injected. And we are seeing that people being put in this position of having to be pressured or make choices on this of either being part of society or not. And I think ultimately that's where this whole thing starts to fall apart and it starts to reveal the true intent, because where we really are right now is not a question of whether you're part of society or not, or culture or not. It's really where we're sitting with our relationship to God and faith. And that right there is where we come into this concept of the armor of God. Because if, as we are sitting here and feeling this pressure, feeling this push to be taking an injection, which this is not just a standard injection. I think we need to step back, and I think you and I can have agreed fully that there is so much more behind this injection than just, say, a simple flu shot, which in itself has its own issues. But this is something that was accelerated forward. It's including new technologies. There's no hiding what's in it. We can go to, or at least the design behind it. We don't know exactly what's in it, but we know the design principles behind it are carrying a principle right out of Moderna's site that's saying that our DNA is the hardware, the mRNA, the manually created RNA, is the software so that they can introduce the new software of life. We're getting into the code of life, the code of our operating system, the code of our DNA. And that's us placing ourselves at the hands of pharmaceutical companies that are now assuming the role of God. And somehow in all of this, with this fear cycle that is going on, there is a blindness that has occurred within society that is rushing them to accept something that's not approved, something that is modifying your DNA and your core programming to God, and somehow that's being rationalized by people as they are stepping away from their faith and their loyalty to God and choosing a path down a road where they're handing over the keys to their own body, their own genetics, to a pharmaceutical company. Right there is where our battle line is.
Why do you think people have been so willing to bow their knee to the pharmaceutical industry, particularly Christians? What has made them walk away from God and lean in to the pharmaceutical industry out of fear? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the first word on that you said is fear itself. Fear is a liar, and fear is one of those things that's repeated, and depending on the version of the Bible you have. Fear is said up to 366 times in Scripture, and it's fear not. I don't know how many more times God would have to say it to be like, guess what, this is kind of a bad idea. It's like, yeah, it's a bad idea. It's a sin is what it is. We can't live in loyalty to God and walk in this place with fear. And if you pay attention, as I hope people would, how everything is built in our culture of information, fear is the singular engine that keeps people off base. And because fear has, as you know, an effect on our cognitive processes. It affects our chemicals in our brain. It stimulates our adrenaline, which gives us, it narrows our focus when that happens. And it gets us into the state of dopamine, which settles us down and keeps our focus on a very, very narrow plane in life. It's everything is short-term thinking. And these constant fear cycles also create a very dark and subtle addiction to our own chemicals in our brain. And as we start to get in these feedback loops or OODA loops in this fear cycle, we cease to look long term and we're looking immediately towards the release from anxiety. And in that place of release of anxiety, then we're looking for an out. And what people are doing is instead of turning to faith, turning to God, and this gets to a simple question, a simple issue we'll touch on in just a moment, but it's the confusion that we are not physical first, but we're spiritual first as beings. So we, instead of turning to God, we turn to salvation through an injection. And that's handing over everything that we are to the trust of a pharmaceutical company to relieve our fear, when in fact the whole time fear can't be released through the relationship we have with God and the relationship we walk with God in this world. That's the principle of our spiritual life, is to live without fear.
And the spiritual leaders that we've talked about, I mean, we've talked about the travesty of Franklin Graham and all these other people who have just turned away from God, and the pastors that refuse to open up their churches. How do you perceive that? Why do you think that the pastors are so lame and they haven't taken a very historical stance? I mean, we've talked before about how that uprisings always happened in churches and in bars and pubs where people got together and said, "We're not going to put up with this tyranny anymore." Where do we place the pastors, and what do we do with that?
The 501c3 church is where a lot of this begins. It's the sellout of the church to the nonprofit model. I mean, who would ever imagine that God would say, ask you to give a tithe so that you get a kickback from the government on your taxes? That's the first little trick. The other part of the 501c3 church is it's limited the band of conversation that they can have. They can't talk politics because it violates the 501c3 contract with the IRS. So the original concept of our churches, which was part of the American Revolution period, the strong pastors we had that led to what we know today as the Black Robe Regiment, those pastors were working in a principle of speaking truth about politics, about tyranny, and showing the application of the scriptures of what that meant in terms of being strong in faith and in Christ. Those churches, when we talk about separation of church and state, it's not taking God out of the government. It was making sure that God and government could be talked about separately from government without impunity by government. The back door to controlling that was the 501c3 church. So when we look at the architecture of our nation, we were built on the foundation which began with the Declaration of Independence. We were built on an architecture, first and foremost, of moral law, meaning that we were given inalienable rights by our Creator, and in so doing, we were accountable to our Creator to ensure that those were preserved. That is part of our charter, which is our right and our duty to preserve. The duty is the big word there because it's used in the Declaration of Independence. We are supposed to resist tyranny by the very foundation in which we are. And then going forward, the entire principle of the Constitution, which is reinforced by all the 85 of the Federalist Papers, shows that we have a constant requirement as citizens in this nation to be accountable to God, everybody, including those who serve in this government, and therefore, in addition to that, but those that serve in government are accountable to the people. But the boundary of action, the boundary of ethics, the boundary of how we perform and conduct ourselves is always that at some point we are committed and we are accountable to God, and hence there is that principle of fear in God. So if we look over the last 240 plus years in our nation, what is the single thing that has been attacked that they have tried to remove from every government institution, every public institution, every private institution? It's the relationship of God, and for good reason, because once we strip away that moral base, we free fall. Where we are right now is we have leaders across our nation that are in free fall. There's not accountability or fear of God, and worse, in our churches, is they have succumbed to the will of government. That has never been the intent and is definitely not the intent of God's design by the church. And they have now become, instead of becoming shepherds of the people, they are now leading their flocks like the Pied Piper off a cliff, to encourage them with blasphemous comments like Christ would take the injection or it is scriptural. There is no foundation in that whatsoever. That is the biggest lie someone could come out and say, and we have major influencers doing that, which has to lead us to a singular question. Who are you serving? And that's a question everybody should be asking. I don't know who they're serving, but I can guarantee you it's not scriptural and it's not Christ.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing about closing our churches, we can't congregate and pray together. And if you do come into the church, wear a mask and don't sing. I mean, this whole thing is just so ridiculous. But yet, we'll close all of that. Nobody can come. But stop by on Tuesday afternoon and get your shot, because we're holding a vaccine clinic. And some of the pastors who've gone so far as to say, we need to praise God for giving the wisdom to the scientists to develop this genetic modifying technique that they are injecting into everybody. I mean, it's. Do you think that just really borders on blasphemy?
I don't think it borders on. I think it is.
Very good.
And I think it's the worst concept of blasphemy. You know, I said this on a show this morning, and I think people need to really think about this. We consider it blasphemy, or let me put it, restate. We consider this a violation of your loyalty to God and Christ if men are addicted to pornography. Okay. There is no question that if that's happening in a church, that there is a problem in your relationship with Christ, and you have to make atonement and you have to make corrections in that. Okay, we got it. It's in Scripture. Well, what happens when you've injected something that has rewritten God's code? Where's the accountability? We have a lot of Christians right now that have taken this or are part of churches that have been pushing this, and they're in the defensive mode. They're saying this constantly. They're saying, well, no, I've had salvation and I'm okay. I'm guaranteed a place in heaven. If I live that way and I lived with that principle, that means I can literally walk out here and do anything in the world I want. I could murder somebody, I can rob, I can steal, and that means I've got a place next to God. That is not the way the Scripture reads. We are accountable in all of our actions and accountable to God. And when we've made a decision on this injection to trust in science, to hack our DNA, to use an mRNA, which now not only allows them to hack, but get and update our, quote, life software at their will, an institution created by men, run by men, never trust men, rule of the Bible, and yet here we are putting full trust in them for something that is fear-driven, that was never a pandemic, and in the first response, which is the biggest violation of all, instead of turning to God in that moment of fear and saying, God, guide me, they turned to the media, listened to them, put on the face diaper, put a bow down to them, and said, please save me through an injection. That is absolute blasphemy to the bottom of the pit. So that's a one-way ticket to the lake of fire, as far as I'm concerned.
I love how you say things like that. And I've heard you say how that you want the job when you get to heaven. You want to be the elevator operator where you can push the down button for people.
Give me that job. I'll be glad to. I'll kick their butt right in the elevator, press the button, hand them a little bottle of water and a small little cookie and say, have a nice ride down to the lake of fire. This is so irritating to me, because in a country that is built on the foundations of strength, number one, American patriots have always been strong in God and strong against tyranny. And somehow over the last 100 years, that has flipped to be anti-God as a principle of this nation, and compliance to tyranny is part of being patriotic. They've completely flipped the script, and we're witnessing it right before us. Who's questioning this out here? And not only are the people not questioning it, we aren't seeing any leadership in our leadership questioning it. Nobody. I said this the other day, and it's an issue of men and women, for example. Another one of these things I shake my head at. Women have been leading this fight. I have nothing but praise for the women leading this fight. God bless you all for doing it. Where are the men? I have sat and listened to this for years about, I've got my guns, I've got this, I've got that. Okay, so now what's the deal? You're going to kick the women out the door to do your defense? You're going to sit on the couch and wait for something to happen? Do you realize that if the men had stood up in their communities and walked into the public square, walked into these county commissions, walked into the city councils, came up to the mayor's office and put their foot down and said, there is no way you are ever coming near my family or my community with this injection. No way, nada, not happening. If they had told the pastors to close their churches, we're done with you, we are going to lead the ministry ourselves as God intended men to do, this would have ended in a week or two. Instead, we have absolute silence for our men. We have women trying to fight and protect the home. And we are being run over by these fake male leaders that are all in bed with pharmaceutical. This is absolutely ridiculous. And we are watching evil manifest itself almost every second these days. And it isn't like there isn't any consequence. Look at our VAERS data. Let's go back to that. As of today, over 4,000 deaths reported, and they're still 3 months behind in reporting. And you and I both know that only represents 1%, 1% of the data. That doesn't even account for the over 200,000 people that have listed as vax injured. And that still only represents 1%. And there is crickets from our leadership in this nation that are primarily men. Sickening. It's a statement of the moral bankruptcy of our nation right now.
Well, it's really true, Scott, and I really feel strongly about everything you just said. I'm in total agreement with you, as that if the men would have stood up and gone to the school boards and said, this isn't happening with our kids, you know, in terms of the masks and the distancing and all that stuff. But the men seem to be the ones who kind of just roll over. Like you said, it's the women, it's the mama bears that are going out, because they're the ones who've been fighting for their kids for, first of all, forever. But secondly, since the 80s, when we really started to see the big uptick of the autistic kids, we, you know, there was the moms who stood in the gap for those kids to try to recover their kids. Upwards of 80-some percent or higher of marriages of vaccine-injured children end in divorce. Why? Because it wasn't convenient anymore? I mean, you couldn't accept responsibility that you allowed the pharmakia to inject your child, and now you have a train wreck of a child, so now you have to abandon that child and leave it for single moms to try to struggle through to make it be happening. This whole issue, I think, is a really important issue about the character and the strength of men is really important. And it kind of reflects back on the issue with the church, too, that how many of the churches say, well, we have to follow our leaders. If the governor says we have to close our doors, we have to do that. Because look, here's the verses in the Bible that say it. They forget that the leaders from those days were supposed to be chosen by God and follow God's will for the people. And that's why you obeyed them, not just because they were elected by some fake little, by some fake election process that is broken and is not ever and is never going to be fixed, at least not in the way that it's going right now. So what do you think that, see, we've had some conversations, too, about when Christians finally come to the perspective of, wow, I didn't know this. I mean, I didn't know this. I mean, early on, I mean, I was one of the first people that got the shot when they first came out with this. And since that time, which would have been December for Moderna, December of 2020 for Moderna and Pfizer, and about February for the Johnson & Johnson shot, here we are. Midsummer of 2021, and now people look backward in time and say, wow, all these things the five doctors have put out that I've been talking about in my over 400 interviews and all of the powerful interviews you do on Bards FM, I mean, five podcasts a day to educate people and to train them about in the way that they should go and be spiritually strong. Those people now suddenly say, wow, I wish I'd have known that. Is there anything that I can do about it? Well, from a physical perspective, a medical perspective, right now, there isn't. I mean, there isn't any extraction tool that's going to go into your DNA and go, oh, yeah, that piece, we'll pull that one out. We know what that one is. But from a spiritual perspective, prayer has always been the cornerstone, and forgiveness is what God is all about. So what do you think, what are your thoughts about when people suddenly have this regret because they've learned something different that they didn't know before?
Well, this gets back to accountability. You can't just go about saying, well, I made a mistake and everything's going to be cool because I was saved. There has to be a process of coming back to Christ. And, you know, you're going to have to repent in a deep way with your soul, with honesty, with your heart, and accept accountability. I think this is the biggest issue before God. We don't use that word. We absolutely don't use that word of accountability in our culture anymore. And yet it is principled how we have to live with Christ. You can't live a life of half-truth. You have to look within your heart. And if you're going to realize you've made the mistake, then, yeah, you need to return to God and you need to pray. And you need to pray for healing. God can heal all things. We know that. And it's there's no limit to what God can heal. What we can't guarantee is your body's going to be healed. But the real issue here is your soul going to be healed? You've made a violation here. You've walked away, and it's not. And so this is where people are struggling, I think. And that's what I'm hearing from, I get from my audience, is that, yes, but God accepts us. We always have salvation. Okay, that's fine. I got it. Yes, you've accepted Christ in your heart. That doesn't take away your responsibility on a daily basis and your accountability to live through Christ and to the Father. And to do that, it is a place that we must absolutely come back and humble ourselves before Him.
So, Scott, thank you so much for joining me here today. You know, on the inaugural launch of the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T. And one of the most important things about me following you and listening to all your things is the super from your heart, powerful prayers that you always put forth at the end of all of your broadcasts. So as we're closing out on our broadcast here today for our first launch, I want to tell everybody where they can follow you on Bards FM, which is like everywhere. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Play, it's on Podbean, it's like everywhere that they can follow your broadcasts. But as we close out, would you please lead us in closing prayer where we can go forward and get our lives right with God?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've come together and to assemble here to reflect very deeply on the choices we make and the accountability we have in those choices. Lord, let us have the humility to put ourselves before you. Let us be able to kneel before you and honestly speak the truth of our hearts of where we are and where we want to be. And let us be healed through those words. Let us accept the blood of Christ within us. Let us accept that healing that comes with us. And let us accept the accountability of walking with Christ in our heart and what that means in every step and every breath. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much, Seth. So this is Scott Kesterson of Bards FM. I follow him on Podbean. He's got over 11 million downloads. He's growing so fast because of all the wonderful things, as you can tell by us sharing here today. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. I hope that you will join us here every week as we talk from the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T. And I close out every one of my broadcasts with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and always be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, stay close to God. He'll never let you down. And we'll see you next week with another episode of the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T.